This is the Indie Newswire Show. According to illegalimmigrantprotest.com, May 5th and 6th were a national, quote, illegal immigrant, unquote, protest rally days. Destroy the Border Coalition called for people to go out and counter the racist message of the rallies. And myself and Bradley went on Friday to Santa Clara, where one of these racist rallies were held. And we talked to some of the folks there.
Regarding racism, it has been asked, how are these people racist? Well, I don't have a full explanation. I think that's for everybody to determine for themselves. But what I can talk about is the Wikipedia definition of nativism. And this is something that I heard Louis the Fortune, I heard on his show. And so I'd like to share that with you all, if you will. Quote, a nationalist element of racism known as nativism. And then American nativist sentiment experienced a resurgence in the late 20th century, this time directed at, quote, illegal aliens, largely Mexican, resulting in the passage of new penalties against illegal immigration in 1996. After terrorist attacks in New York City and Washington, D.C. in 2001, nativist feelings were amplified and directed increasingly toward individuals perceived to be either Arab and or Muslim. These found themselves the target of rhetoric and a request by nativists to tighten border controls. The early 21st century American movement that is self-characterized as, quote, immigration reduction, attempts to distance itself from any suggestion of nativist motivations. Immigration reductionism is criticized by many for what they see as ties to the white supremacist movement. Immigrant rights activists fear that the movement hides an anti-immigrant bias, notwithstanding the repeated insistence by immigration reductionists that they are neither anti-immigrant nor anti-immigration.
So we bring you now the voice of Jessica Barajas, a 17-year-old undocumented student who was there in protest, or, you know, basically to counter the message of the racists.
So we're here in Santa Clara Central Park. Is that what this is?
Yeah.
Here it's Cinco de Mayo, May 5th, 2006. There's about 50 or so folks on the boulevard here. Flags and signs that say, you know, basically illegals go home. That's this, to summarize their point. They're out here protesting so-called illegal immigrants. I like the term undocumented, but anyway, well, tell me a little bit about why you're here.
Oh, we were just going to go through, but we saw all those flags and we just decided to look at it from this point of view. We were walking through there, and they stayed pretty quiet. They really didn't say anything when we were just like walking and looking at their signs, and we were just like kind of disagreeing, not out loud that much, but we were kind of just
them. We disagreed a lot.
Yeah, they didn't really do anything, but we just saw them, and we think it's wrong, so we were just, you know, looking.
Why do you think it's wrong?
Well, because there's so many people here that are here illegally, and it's not just Mexicans. I like to say that because people always say the Mexicans. No, there's Africans, Chinese, Philippines, all Hispanics, anything. This is a land of opportunities, and a lot of people, a lot of ethnicities come here just for the purpose of having a better life. I think it's wrong because, you know, they're just hitting against something that I think is not fair.
On Monday, May Day, May 1st, there were massive demonstrations. Millions of people took to the streets. It was billed as a day without an immigrant. People took off from work, didn't go to school. Lettuce didn't get picked in the Central Valley. Strawberries weren't picked. You know, burrito shops were closed down. Did you participate in those demonstrations?
Yeah, we did. I went with my family, my sisters. I have five sisters. My parents, my uncles, my aunts, we all went down there, and we marched from, I think, 19th Street all the way to Cesar Chavez Park, and yeah, we participated in it. It was cool. It was a lot of people there, a lot of people that were on our side, and yeah, we participated, and it was pretty fun.
What do you think those protests accomplished?
Well, hopefully it accomplished something good out of it. I haven't checked up on that yet, but yeah, hopefully something good and something that's fair. If it's not going to go either our way or their way, let's just hope it's fair.
What do you think's missing from the debate on immigration? You know, it's usually presented, there's like two sides presented, usually like the extreme sort of right-wing position is that we should lock down the country and seal the borders. And then there's another, you know, the other side of that is that, you know, we should open up the borders completely and allow anybody into this country. Do you think it's that simple, or what do you think is missing from the dialogue?
I mean, yeah, there's, it's not, like, it wouldn't be fair to just totally, completely close it down. I mean, there could be better solutions, helping other people in order to come in here. Other ways, yeah, there's not just that way, but the reason people come here is because they don't have money to make it the right legal way. That's why they come illegally. And that's why it's the way they come here. And I just, yeah.
What do you think drives immigration? In other words, why is it that people are choosing to leave their home countries and come to America? You mentioned a little bit about seeking opportunities, but I'm wondering if you maybe ever give it thought about how the situations is created in people's home countries where it's so bad that they want to leave.
I think it's the poverty.
What do you think is the cause of that, I guess?
The government from other countries, obviously, because in Cuba they have Fidel. In Mexico they have Fox. It's just in different ways they see it. They think, oh, they got money, this and that, and they think they're okay. But they don't know until they really go there and see things. If they went and saw things the way they really are, I think there could be good changes, because it's not just what they see on the outside. It's always what they see on the inside.
Today, were there any other protesters here besides these people demonstrating, you know, the pro-America position?
Yeah, there was, I think, about 15 of guys on the other side with different color flags. They were wearing black. They had their faces, some of them had their faces covered up. There was a couple, they weren't just all like with their Mexican flags or any other flag. They had probably two Mexican flags and a couple others, but there was a couple of people.
Was there any confrontations? Or?
Yeah, on both sides. I'm not going to say just on one side, but there were some, you know, this and that, that and this.
Just like verbal, or what happened?
No, they didn't do anything like physically. They were just yelling at each other back and forth. But
did the police get involved in any way?
No, they're just looking behind the lines, and they were just watching, making sure nothing, you know, really happened seriously. But
And I guess, what do you think about what these people are saying? What they're doing out here today? What's your ultimate, like, how do you feel about it?
I think that, well, it's their own opinion, I'm not gonna lie, and they can, you know, choose to do it on their, you know, what their own. But the question is, why didn't they not do it in San Jose or LA or Chicago, where there was big amount of people? Or why not any other place? And why now? And why today? And why on Cinco de Mayo, when it's a, you know, big day for Mexicans here in United States? That's what I think.
What do you know about Cinco de Mayo? What do you think? What's the purpose of celebrating? What is the origins of it?
To be honest, in Mexico they really don't celebrate it. That's what's funny. That's what I think is really weird, because it was the Battle of French they fought, and I guess they won. And in Mexico, it's not really a big thing, but, you know, things change when they're over here, so people just take it as a holiday.
Any other thoughts you have about immigration, or what's happening here today, or the protests that happened earlier this week?
Yeah, I think that, you know, they should really think about what they're going to do and put some really good thought into it, because it's going to affect a lot of people. It's not just going to affect 100 of them or 200 of them. It's going to affect a lot of people. And it's going to affect families and a lot of different people and a lot of different you know, families and things are going to go wrong. And they're going to have to think about the right way to do it. Because they just do.
All right. Well, thanks for your comments.
Okay. Thank you.
That was Jessica, a 17-year-old student from Santa Clara, who was walking through Central Park in Santa Clara right after she left the pro-America rally. We're going to actually hear from a few of the pro-America rally participants. Want to try to at least get them to present their own points of view. We'll hear next from Roberta Allen. And I would highly encourage folks to go to indiebay.org/South Bay, and check out the photo essay that Bradley, my co-host, put together to see an actual picture of Roberta Allen. Just to give you a quick description of what she was wearing, she basically was decked out in red, white, and blue sequins to the point where she actually had American flag contact lenses in her eyes and red, white, and blue makeup on. And there's a photo of her at indiebay.org/South Bay. Her name is Roberta Allen. She's one of the coordinators of the Santa Clara Pro-America Rally, Pro-America. So let's hear now from Roberta Allen.
How are you?
I'm just fine, thank you.
What's your name?
My name is Roberta Allen.
Roberta what?
Allen.
Allen. And you're with, what affiliation are you with?
On this, it's illegalimmigrantprotest.com.
Tell me about that. What is that?
It's a national group of rallies that we've started about a month ago. We've got about 22 states and about 30 sites that people are rallying against illegal aliens.
In support of the legislation H.R. 4437?
Not really. This is in support of legal immigration and against illegal aliens. So I don't think we really need any legislation at this stage of the game, personally. We've got enough laws on the books. If we just enforce, we need to seal the borders and secure the borders and enforce the laws that we have right now. Okay. Thanks, Nelson.
A lot of people come here seeking better opportunities, looking for work. Mm-hmm. They often end up doing a lot of low-wage, low-skilled jobs, such as harvesting food that we eat that's brought to market every day, or washing dishes in restaurants.
Well, a lot of us started there. I picked a lot of fruit in my days, going to school and all. I think the issue is, do they come here legally or illegally? When they come legally, they work their way up. We don't start at the top. I don't think any of us have, if you talk to anybody around here. You don't start with that top job. You know, you have to work your way through. Have you been the recipient of a college grant to be able to get the way through school without working at all?
I didn't go to college.
Oh, okay. And who are you with?
Yeah, it's funny how people... That was pretty much the end of the interview with Roberta Allen. She started to question me about my college education, and this seems to be a tact of the right wing. I remember about 10 years ago calling up right-wing radio station KSCO to argue about the death penalty. And instead of challenging my arguments, the person, the host, Fred Reese, asked me where I went to school and, you know, turned it on me. Like, what's my education? Why am I so smart? You know, it's like, that's what she did. That's exactly what Roberta Allen just did to me. Instead of answering my question, she turned it into a question about, well, where did you go to school and who are you with? And then it was like, well, when I told her who I was with, she didn't seem interested in talking with me anymore. But another pro-America rally participant, Kathleen Dunham of Cupertino, I think she said she was from, or Campbell, California, did engage in dialogue with me, and we had a bit of a debate, civil as it was. So let's hear now Kathleen Dunham.
Immigrants coming to this company, country.
Freudian slip.
You have to do it legally. I mean, what about all the people that have been standing in line and have to go through all the hoops and jangles and everything. And then we had amnesty in 1986 under Reagan, and all it did was open the floodgates even more. And if Bush gives amnesty to these people, it's just going to continue on and on. And then once they're here, they can actually sponsor the rest of their families to come in. So if you have a bunch of illegals coming in, what's going to happen to America pretty soon? That's a question you need to ask yourself.
Where are you from originally?
Here, I was born in San Francisco.
Where did your family immigrate from?
Well, most of my family was born here in the United States, but my great-grandmother from Poland and England.
And when did they come to the U.S.?
In the 1920s.
Have any of their stories of hardship been passed down to you?
Yes.
What kinds of things do they describe?
Having to come here. Actually, one of my uncles, great-great-uncle, was in the 1906 earthquake. He came from Poland. He was the last to get out of Poland. And he came here as a baker when he was 16. And he had just arrived in San Francisco when the great earthquake happened. So his family, or the rest of my family that was in Baltimore, they sent for him to come back. They said, get out of San Francisco. So
I guess what I'm going with that is that, you know, there were opportunities that your family had that other families want now. I guess, don't you think people have the right?
Right, I understand that. And I mean, I don't blame somebody that's trying to put food on their table. They will do anything to survive. But if we take that and multiply that, we can't sustain everyone in the world. We can't. You got to do it legally. Have to. And we're either a nation of laws or we're not. One or the other.
Do you think that there? What do you think the conditions are that people want to leave their home countries to come here? Maybe if that were a problem that was addressed, people wouldn't want to leave their home country.
Yeah, there's political corruption. There's famine. There's all sorts of things. There's war. There's all sorts of things. The Irish, when they came here, there was a famine in the land, and they came here and they endured a lot of hardships. Italians, Africans. I mean, it's happened all over. But we can't. Are we going to take everyone in the entire world here? Can we sustain them? Can our resources sustain them? Right now, they say the gas is high because of supply and demand. If you got 20 million illegals here, do you think that's contributing at all? Do you?
Well, there's 11 million currently undocumented people
in this
country.
That's what the government says. I don't believe
you think it's higher.
Oh, yes, I do. Yeah. I think there might be 11 right here in California.
11 million.
No. I mean, I'm being facetious.
Well, there's 35 million people in the state, so that would be a high percentage.
I'm being facetious.
Well, really, like, seriously, what do you think should happen with those people? You say you're not in favor of amnesty.
No. We had amnesty before.
What am I
in favor of? Because they're saying that they can't round them all up, right?
But do you think people should be criminalized, like put in jail for seeking opportunities?
We haven't got enough jails to put anybody.
But is that what you would prefer?
And actually, it's a misdemeanor. It's a misdemeanor. It's not a felony.
Yeah, but oftentimes people that are arrested or caught up in immigration stings often spend upwards of 18 months before they're deported.
Really? I would like to meet them. I really would.
You're worried about resource consumption. I wonder what the resources would be to house and feed people and maintain a staff for the jail.
Well, right now, okay, forget about gasoline. How about if something happens, say there's another terrorist attack or there's another major natural disaster, like what happened in New Orleans, okay? And you have no water and you don't have food. What's going to happen? What's going to happen not only to the citizens, but the people that are here illegally? What's going to happen? You're going to have chaos and pandemonium.
I think that's a stretch. Well, you mentioned New Orleans. I wonder if I could ask you a question about that, because now New Orleans is in the reconstruction phase. That's a population that is largely African-American or black. Often low-wage workers. There's a lot of construction workers there in that region, but yet most of the jobs are going, in fact, to undocumented, or as you would say, illegal immigrants,
they are illegal.
Who are going here, who are coming here to do work. I mean, I guess what I see going on is that the forces of the labor market and the businesses, you know, that want cheap labor, drive it. You know, I mean, if they were paying, you know, African American locals from New Orleans a decent fair wage, according to the Davis-Bacon Act, a prevailing local wage, then there wouldn't, you know, they wouldn't have hundreds of thousands of Mexicans coming to rebuild New Orleans.
Right, but also, too, it's not just Mexicans, and everybody seems to be focusing on Mexicans. There's a lot of people from South America, but there's also, do you know, here in the state of California, we have a lot of Russians, a lot of Croatians. There's a lot of everybody coming in. And prior to that, we had a lot of Asian coming in. And after the Vietnam War, we had a lot of people from Vietnam that were brought in because we were in the war. It's not just Mexicans. And, you know, everybody's focused on that right now. But also, they need to answer some questions about our healthcare system. 26 hospitals have closed in the state of California. 26. And they're expecting more. We have overcrowded schools. We have, they say that the prison force, 29% of illegals are in prisons. 29%. Who's paying? We're all picking up the tab for that. America is picking up the tab for that. So it's not just somebody that wants to come over here and feed their family. I understand that. I don't have a problem. I mean, but if you've got everybody that needs to feed their family, what do you do?
Good questions. I don't have all the answers.
Yeah,
well, I didn't catch your name, by the way.
Oh, Kathleen.
Kathleen.
Dunham.
Dunham. Where are you from?
Right here in Campbell, California.
And how old are you? You don't have to answer
You
that.
Don't ask a lady that.
Sorry. Is there any other thoughts you have about the debate that's happening in D.C.? What's missing from your perspective on the debate, the immigration debate?
I don't know. I think that it can get pretty volatile here if people don't keep emotions in check. And so, no offense to you guys, but I think that the media would really like to see something like that. I think that they're driven by that. But Monday was very peaceful, and, you know, they're voicing their opinions. And, you know, let them become citizens, and they can protest. Because you couldn't do that in Mexico, and you couldn't do it in Iran, and you couldn't do it in Iraq, and you can't do it in a lot of places. So, you know, we're a very forgiving country here, very easygoing, but we don't want to become so complacent that we're overtaken.
Well, thanks for your comments.
Thank you.
Oh, my goodness. Very forgiving country we are, huh? Indeed. Well, you're tuned to the Indy News Wire show. That's the voice of pro-America. So-called middle America. I wanted to just remind folks that the corporation Walmart was investigated some time ago, about a year and a half ago or so, and settled for some $12 million, a federal lawsuit that they were using illegal, quote-unquote, illegal immigrants to clean their stores. Most of these people were white and from Scandinavian and Slavic countries, and so it probably deceived a lot of the their customers that in fact these people are immigrants. Anyway, we just have a few more sounds from Santa Clara on Friday afternoon, where myself and Bradley, the co-hosts here of the Indy Newswire show, went to check out this pro-America rally. At one point, my esteemed co-host saw a flag, apparently. You have anything to say about what happened? We're going to set up this piece of audio next. What happened? You saw a flag on the ground and picked it up?
I think you should just roll it because we talk about it in the interview.
All right. Well, I'll set the scene. I was trying to talk to some of the pro-America folks, and I noticed a bit of a situation a ways down because these people were mostly like lined up on the street, so they were like about a half a block in length, and I was towards the one end, and I noticed some police officers that were nearby in the park, kind of keeping an eye on things, giving my co-host a little bit of a hard time. And so the intrepid reporter that I am walked towards the situation with microphone in hand.
You can go stand over there. Not stand here. You can go stand over there.
I'm not trying to protest, sir.
Job, this kid has a recorder, man.
That's fine. That's fine.
Are you with him?
I am. What's going on?
We have a report that
He's taking a different stand than these people here are, okay? The designated area for the people who are not in this, in with this stand, is over on the other side of the light pole there.
Is this a permitted rally?
What's
Is this a permitted rally?
It doesn't need to have a permit. It's not a permitted rally.
So who designated who delineated
the police department did.
When?
Earlier today. You missed it. There was a whole group of other protesters here, and their delineated area is on the other side of the light pole, so I'd ask that you move over to there.
I'm fighting for our freedom.
I'm not going to debate this with you.
I'm just protesting.
Sir, I am not going to debate this
That's
with you.
That's fine.
If you want to make your stand, you do it on the other side of the light pole, down over there.
How far away is it from where these folks are?
It's on the other side of the
just
light
right
pole.
Just right by that light there.
Yeah, not
so
this light here.
A couple hundred, maybe 50 yards.
Right over there. And that's where you folks can move down to.
So who, I guess like...
I'm not going to debate this with you,
I'm
sir.
Asking you a question.
Okay, I've answered your questions.
I'm
I have answered
you.
Your questions.
I just
You're free
I
to
don't
move down over
how
there.
You
what you need to understand is that the other area for the other opinions is
I'm
down on the
a
other
reporter.
Side. That's fine.
I don't have an opinion one way or another.
That's fine. That's fine.
I haven't
move
said
on
a word.
Down.
I've actually had one... Hey. A couple of people down there, and they were happy to talk to you.
Oh, God bless the USA, our wonderful law enforcement, Sergeant Bourbon of the Santa Clara Police Department, refusing to answer my legitimate questions, not asked with a hostile tone, just seeking the truth and finding out what's going on. Of course, denied, told to move 50 feet onto the other side of the light post. So, you know, figuring I would try to speak to some of the people that were upset with my co-host, but they wanted to see printed photo media credentials, which I don't have, so they refused to speak with me. So I was left only to interview my co-host to find out what happened without the other side. Here is Bradley.
Excuse me, sir. Can I ask you what happened? What was that commotion all about?
Oh, I was over there. I saw that there was an American flag laying by the tree. So I looked and I said, would it be okay if I use this flag? And I was told, yeah, sure. I got explicit permission to use the flag. And so I came out and I stood next to my fellow Americans, my fellow freedom fighters. And I was flying my flag, but they didn't like the way that I was flying my flag.
Not
because I was
flag.
Holding it upside down. And so I was, first a lady came and put her sign in front of my American flag so that other people passing by wouldn't be able to see me fly my American flag. And then more people came with their American flags and theirs were bigger than mine. And so they were able to cover my flag with their big American flags. And when I would try and move my flag, one woman used her flagpole to actually hit my American flag. And I felt that that was disrespectful both to me and my country and my flag.
Which was upside down.
And then what happened? When I walked up, the police were approaching you and telling you to move along, and there were some people yelling at you that you were disrespecting them.
My fellow freedom fighters were upset with me, and they started to tell me that I had to leave, and they called the police officers over. And at first, one police officer said, he's free to fly his flag right there. And he was saying he was saying that I was free to fly my flag right there. And another woman was complaining about that. And then, but he said, ma'am, don't touch him or his flag or you're going to go to jail. So this man of the law felt that it was okay that I fly my flag and stand right there. But then later, more men of the law came up and told me that I wasn't able to be on that piece of land that my forefathers fought for and died. The blood on my flag. And they told me that I cannot stand on our green lawn. And they said that I had to move, that I had to go to the other side.
Where the other people are able to protest freely.
Yeah, I couldn't stand with my fellow freedom fighters.
Ah, such a grand and glorious country. Do you have any other comments, Bradley, to add?
It was sad to me
that people were flying American flags, which represent freedom. But yet when I flew my flag, I was attacked with flagpoles. So I don't feel so free.
But your flag was upside down, right?
It was.
And why were you flying an upside down flag?
To symbolize a nation in distress. To symbolize the problem, the division, the racism and the capitalism dividing people. So that's why I was flying it upside down. But apparently the police enforced me having another opinion, which made it so that they pushed me to the other side. Not really pushed me, but directed me to, you know, further down the sidewalk. And you weren't allowed to be, you had to go with me just because you were with me. They didn't even ask, you know, which way you fly your flag.
In fact, I was flying no flag. I was just attempting to get the words of folks recorded. And in fact, I did have a couple of conversations, as I told the officer, with people who were perfectly willing to talk to me and have their views recorded as to why they were flying flags. So anyway, right when we were wrapping up the interview on the scene with Bradley, another woman walked by with her grandchildren and child. Her name is Daria Hilton, and she was wearing a T-shirt that said, I love my esposo. And I asked her why she was wearing that shirt. Her name is Daria Hilton, and this is the last interview we're going to play from Santa Clara. You're tuned to Indie Newswire 101.1 FM, www.freakradio.org.
How's it going? Can I ask you a few questions?
Sure.
What's your name?
My name is Daria Hilton.
And are you from Santa Clara?
Yes, I am.
Are these your two children?
This is my grandson, and that's my son.
And you're wearing a shirt that says, I love mi esposo.
It says, I love my esposo.
My esposo. What does that mean?
That means I love my husband. My husband is an illegal immigrant, and I'm just kind of a little bit ashamed of my white brothers and sisters out here kind of being a little intolerant, and I just wanted to come check it out, see what was going on. I was out there taking my grandbaby to see the ducks.
How'd you hear about the rally?
I actually did see something in the Chronicle, but I'd forgotten all about it. I just saw them out here. I saw the flags and heard the honking. I wanted to check it out.
So what do you think? I saw you were in some conversations over there. What was people saying?
They were just trying to make the distinction between legal and illegal. And, I understood their position, but I just feel like they're not really embracing the larger picture, and they're not thinking in terms of our economic and foreign policies in Central and South America and how it's created inequity and how people having to make a dire decision like between food and doing something illegal are going to choose illegal over starving.
So you think, say, maybe like a treaty like NAFTA or the Central America Free Trade Agreement, these kind of trade deals impact and cause people to want to leave their home countries?
I think they very negatively impact the economies down there and other longer-standing economic policies and our foreign policies as well. And I think the roots are deep, and I think that maybe that those guys need to read their history a little bit better and to try and get an understanding of what's really going on.
What do you think is missing from the immigration debate that we're hearing?
I think what's missing most is just some straight compassion, you know, some love. There's extremities on both sides, and I will just, like, I actually gave that lady my phone number. I want her to call me, and I took hers because I'd like to sit down when I have time. I'm not boring my kids to death, and I can actually talk and say, hey, explain to me your position, defend it well. I'm down, but I want to see the true defense, because it seems like the argument breaks down pretty quickly into some red, white, and blue apple pie, red, white, and blue apple pie. It's like, no, hey. Get some history, get some facts. I'd be more willing to hear you if you had more to say.
As you mentioned, you're married to a man who's an illegal immigrant, undocumented.
Yes.
And sometimes the rhetoric seeps in, and it's hard to break the conditioning. But can you just talk a bit about some of the challenges he faces and that you face trying to make it?
The major challenges, of course, are work, because he doesn't have a legitimate Social Security. And, go ahead. And, of course, he doesn't have a driver's license, and the economic necessity is that he does drive. And sometimes, probably once a year, and usually around now, around Cinco de Mayo, our car gets impounded, and we have to spend $3,000 or $4,000 getting it out. And there is some there are racism issues that come up, and also just having the perspective like understood at all, like in the schools, in business, with our friends, you know, having to always be advocating, always talking, and you know, sometimes it'd be nice to just be accepted for who we are, you know.
Last Monday, the May 1st National Marches, it was billed as a day without an immigrant. Millions of people took to the streets. What do you think that accomplished, and what do you think it would look like if that day were to be extended beyond the one day, May 1st, and we didn't have any immigrants in this country?
Well, first of all, I would be, our economy would be devastated without immigrant labor. And I'm not saying that corporations don't exploit immigrant workers. They do, absolutely. And I do believe, this is probably the only thing I agree with them about, is that the system does need reform. But I think that we vastly underestimated the worth of immigrant labor, and also just plain how they enhance our community in terms of establishing... Wow, they're kind of arguing. In terms of establishing actual communities where people talk to each other and people help each other. I mean, we had a barbecue on May 1st. I kept my kids out of school. We went downtown for the march as well. And our neighbor noticed that our lawn was not mowed. And he brought a lawnmower the next day and mowed it. And, you know, he's a Mexican guy, Jesse. And that's just how it is. You know, you take care of each other. And I'd like to see more of that energy seeping into our country instead of, like, let's all be divided and into our little groups, you know. I would like to be more open, more embraced, and more embracing.
Any other thoughts you have about this whole debate and the legislation, H.R. 4437?
Well, I'm definitely opposed to legislation. I could personally looking at, like, 6 years of felony jail time for helping an illegal immigrant. But, again, I would just like to see some compassion come into this whole picture, and I would like us to be a little bit less polarized, and I would like to sit down and talk and be open and try and make some reform that's actually real.
All right, well, thank you for your comments.
You're welcome.
And that was Daria Hilton, a young mother and grandmother, wearing I Love My Esposa t-shirt, and also on the back of her shirt she had the words Unidad y Oportunidad, inscrawled. For more information to fight the racist Minutemen and their wannabes in Santa Clara and other areas, check out www.deletetheborder.org. That's www.deletetheborder.org. Bradley's got some info he wants to share from that website.
This is an invitation to a network. Freedom of Movement, Libertad de Movimiento. This is posted on DeleteTheBorder.org in English, Spanish, and French. Proposal, Freedom of Movement, a North American No Border Network. Through our work, we have met some amazing sisters and brothers in struggle in Mexico, Canada, the United States, and all across the world. We have begun to learn about each other and, as a result, learn more about other groups and struggles emanating for what we believe to be similar and related causes. We are therefore proposing the creation of a no-border network between groups in Mexico, Canada, and the U.S. We have taken only a few steps toward the realization of this network. This is obviously a huge and complex endeavor, so our goal is to place enough tangible information before you so that many aspects can be developed more collectively and organically. So if you or anyone you know may be interested in helping to organize with the North American No Border Network, please visit DeleteTheBorder.org.
And thanks for sharing that. You're tuned to Indie Newswire here on Freak Radio 101.1 FM. My name's Vinny, co-hosting with Bradley. We're here usually between 3 and 5 every Monday right here at 101.1 FM, www.freakradio.org.